Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. And tonight, we got a special guest for you. We got my man, Phoenix Jones, community activist, superhero, MMA fighter. He do it all. You want to holler at us, 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Phoenix Jones is going to be in the house tonight. Kind of excited. No homo. Kind of excited. If you want to holler at us and you're too afraid to call, of course, the email address is smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Once again, that email address is smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Any question, comment, concern you got, it's my question, comment, concern. I got an answer for you. I promise you. I think. Anyway, and of course, if you want to jump in the chat room, ask a question to make a comment, as has been known to happen in the chat room, can get a little wild from time to time. Holla at your boy. I'm here for you. In the meantime, you know, of course, how I do. I like to talk about the things that crazy people do to start my night. Unfortunately, it's nothing from Florida. Florida is exempt tonight. Maybe. I don't know yet. We'll figure it out. But in the meantime, there's a first guy up the bat, Oregon man, who's facing charges because he decided he wanted to pee on the people in front of him on the plane. Paula, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Oh, how you doing, brother?
All right. Is this the man of the hour?
This is Phoenix Jones.
All right. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm telling you, I'm hungry. I am hungry and dehydrated right now, sir.
Uh-oh. Not hungry and dehydrated. We don't want you to turn into dust on the air.
No. That's what you got to do before a fight kicks off. You know, you got to get your weight right, so.
No, hungry. I understand, man. You know, you're a big dude, so I know it takes a lot of, you know, keep you going. You my role model.
I cut from 198 to 160, and I'm about 8 pounds over right now, so I'm doing my final cut.
Okay. All right.
So it's a pretty big one.
That's a whole lot to cut, man. That's almost 40 pounds.
Yeah, it's a large cut. It's a large cut. A lot of work on that one.
Yeah, I mean.
But, you know, the key is that fighting people your own size sucks. So cutting weight makes sense.
Okay. All right. I mean, well first I got to say thank you for coming on the show. I've been following you for years now. So, I mean, I kind of love you, man.
Stop. Thank you, sir. Yo, where is your show shot from? What area are you in?
I'm in the Bay Area, Oakland, California.
Dang it. I was going to say, if you were near Phoenix, I was going to say I'd get you some tickets to fight. If you're in the Bay Area, though, I am nowhere near Oakland.
I got a cousin in Phoenix, so, hey, it's nothing for me to fly up on the weekend and just impose on my cousin. So don't threaten me with
it. Hey, do you want to go? Do you want to go to the fight?
I would not be mad at going to the fight. Is this weekend?
Yeah. Dude, I'm 100% sure it's Friday. I'll get you tickets. I'll get you and your cousin tickets. You can come sit in my corner. Well, not my corner, but I mean with my people.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. We'll talk after the fight. I definitely want to come to the fight. But
deal. Then yeah, done.
All right. So in the meantime, I mean, you like a superhero, man. I mean, how you wrap your head around, like, I want to go out and be what I'm reading about in comics?
You know, the way I try to describe it to people, because there's no logical answer to that question, right? Like, just because something bad happens to you, like, most people's response is that I'm going to dress up in a bulletproof suit and go whoop that dude's ass. Like, that's secondary. So I guess, when you decided you were going to be a radio host, right, you were like, this is what I want to do. And other people, that might be crazy. They're like, man, I could never do that. I got stage fright. I got whatever. You're like, that's what I'm good at. I'm like, well, I'm good at punching people in the face, but I'm black. And I can't, and body armor on me is going to look weird. But if I dress up like Captain Savinho and run around the streets, people are going to, you know, it's not going to have the same response. I'm less worried about cops shooting me. And once I realized that, I was like, that's what I got to do.
Is Captain Savinho like a real person with a costume?
Oh, dude, there's everybody you can think of. There's like there's online guys. There's Captain Ozone, who literally recycles wearing a blue thong. There's Urban Avenger in California, who doesn't do anything and runs around in like motocross gear. There's Mr. Extreme, who may be slightly autistic but actually fights crime. Like, there's tons of them. I'm the only one who's like, if you want to call me normal, but there's a lot of them.
No, I mean, look, I've seen your exploits over the years. I mean, you know, it's like you're like the angels up in New York. Just on another level.
The Guardian Angels, yeah.
Yeah, you just happen to be a black man doing it. And, you know, you're like the first black real-life superhero. It's like...
Isn't that a trip that the first superhero in America would be black? Like, I mean, people can say whatever they want to say, but paper-wise and number-wise, I have over 250 arrests. I have a federal commendation from the FBI. And I got arrested in my suit as Phoenix Jones, so it's a legal title. So I'm literally the only superhero in America who can use it, like, on a business card. Like, I could be, like, the superhero Phoenix Jones. So it's crazy that I'm black. I really imagine the first superhero would be, like, a white dude with a butt chin.
Well, I mean, it's funny. You should have been. I mean, when they talk about Kick-Ass, that's you.
That's pretty much a stolen movie from my life. You know, the funny part is there's only – I talked to – when they were making Kick-Ass number 2, I got a chance to talk to the director, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's one scene in that movie that is cut straight from my life. And it's when the guy's name was Pitch Black, and he was walking around with a baseball bat wrapped in tinfoil. And I was like, dude, what is that? Cause the way he had it wrapped up, it looked really cool. He had two-sided tape on one side, and the tinfoil was all shiny, and he kept it in this, like, little carrier. So I couldn't tell what it was. And I was like, dude, what is that? He's like, it's got the power to levitate anybody. It levitates their souls from their bodies. And I was like, are you fucking kidding? And he's like, yeah, man, it's just a bad tinfoil. And I'm like, But when I saw that in the movie, I was just dying because I was like, that happened. That's a direct, like, moment of my life.
Well, I mean, as a comic book guy, I definitely love the movie and why I followed your exploits and ecstatic that I got you here. Now, aside from, I mean, do people, like, show you, like, real love? I mean, you think people take you seriously or do they, like, you know, you get more laughs than just, like, thank you for what you do?
You know, the good thing is that, like, criminals laugh at me, but that's what I want. Like, what people don't get is that you show up to a crime, and the last thing you want the criminal to do is be like, oh, shit, Jones is here. Let's shoot that guy. You want him to be like, oh, look at this guy. He's retarded. And then you whoop his ass and handcuff him to a pole, and he's like, oh, that wasn't what I expected. You know what I mean?
Well,
as funny as you can be.
Well, I saw the video when dude stepped to you, and you was like, well, hey, you know what? If you want to fight, we can fight.
I tried to walk away, you know, but at a certain point, when you say you're going to come to my house, I mean, that's where my kids live, that's where my family is, you're not coming to my house. And he had a car and he was going to follow me, and I'm like, you're not going to follow me. So I put him down hard. Most of the time, though, the criminals don't see me coming. They're fighting with somebody else, or they've got a gun pointed at somebody, or they're doing something. And I come in from almost the blind side, not like a sucker punch, but more like a sucker tackle. And I've got them off their game, on the ground, gun disarmed, knife disarmed. Then I'm looking at them, and I'm like, okay, now we're talking. You've lost your knife. Is this really the smartest choice for you? You really want to be doing this?
No, I don't think they do. So, you're talking about the kids, whatnot. People in your neighborhood, how do they embrace you?
You know, you would not believe this, but I'm actually like, all my kids in my neighborhood are like, I live in an apartment, right? And I'm on like close to the top floor of my apartment. And my kids live there, and all day kids come up to my house telling me, dropping off like little pictures or having me want me to come out and play games with them. I spent like so much time playing with kids in my neighborhood. Today, the ice cream truck went by, and they missed the ice cream truck. So they came to me and they knocked on my door, and I'm like, hello. They're like, yeah, we missed the ice cream truck. I'm like, what do you want me to do about that? Like, that's not even a superhero crime. And they looked super sad, so I went down and hopped on my motorcycle, drove down the street, and got the ice cream truck back. They brought him back and bought me some ice cream. They're like, we love this guy. You know, it's always weird stuff.
Hey, now, you know, speaking on that, now, the opposite end of the spectrum, the goofy love, what's your goofy ratio? How's that going?
Now, I don't know if you looked at my Instagram, but my girl is like 5'8". With like muscles like as big as my head, so like no girls play games. Like she's always walking around with me with the camera. Like she'll squish you. Like girls come up and they're like, oh, let me take a picture, and she's like, don't touch him, walk away. If there's a crime, we'll see you later. Like she's way too real.
So,
you know, like I always say, like behind every like good black man, there's a strong black woman. But behind every, like, strong black superhero so far, there's a white woman who's had enough of other white women trying to touch her.
You still have the flat top, man.
Oh, it's all, of course. Man, you can't – I'm a generation deep in flat top. I'm like, there's no way I'm cutting this off. It's funny. I got in eighth grade. We were playing football, and I was not good. I was, like, really bad. It took me a while to get, you know, man-sized. I was a really shitty player. And I cut a flat top from my fro to a flat top and scored a touchdown. And my whole team got flat tops, and we pretty much – I never looked back. And it's been 15 years, but a decade and a half.
Hey, it's a sweet flat top, man. If I could get a sweet flat top like yours, I would. But, you know, I'm just rocking the ball head.
You know, the maintenance is probably easier. I spend a lot of time combing my hair.
Oh, I know you do. I mean, because, you know, when I saw you, it's like perfect. I'm like, that's, you know, I know you got to work hard at it. Just, it's just perfect. On TV, I'm looking, damn.
I remember one of the funnier times, man, when I realized I was going to have to demask myself. Because I knew the government was coming after me and everybody was coming after me, and it was just going to be trouble, and I knew I was going to have to demask myself. I sprayed my hair with so much holding hairspray and put that mask on. And when I took it off, my hair popped out into like a perfect flat top. And it's the funniest moment. It's like, how did you get this? It was beautiful. It was like all my 30 minutes of preparation paid off.
All right, now you talked about the government coming after you. I mean, was it like the cops, FBI, CIA?
It was ATF.
ATF.
Yeah, the ATF came after me because they weren't sure what kind of weaponry I was using. They were like, we got reports of net guns and grappling hooks and pepper ball shooters and like, we don't know what's going on. Your suit's bulletproof, and there's only a certain level of bulletproofing you're allowed to have as a civilian, but I don't really care, because if you're pulling my bulletproofing off, it's because someone shot me. So you can fine me for that, I guess. I'm not going to wear, like, you know what I mean? Like, what's the point of wearing bulletproofing that only stops certain bullets? That's just stupid.
Right. You want to be protected all the way. You're in a dangerous line of work here.
Yeah. It was kind of comical when I heard it. They're like, well, you're only allowed to wear stuff that stops this. And I'm like, So what do I do when a criminal shows up with something that's not that? They're like, well, you shouldn't really be fighting crime. I was like, man, you guys are so stupid. So I figured out a loophole to get around it. You just order it from Israel. Israel doesn't have a rating. Israel doesn't have a rating system. They've been at war for a long time. Their rating system is just called protection. So their bulletproof vests are like top of the line. They smell terrible, but they're top of the line.
Okay. So I got to ask, man. So why didn't you – anybody ever approach you about a reality show?
All the time. I almost had a reality show, actually. They came and they were shooting in Seattle, and then all of a sudden in the middle of it, this guy, criminal comes up who I remember arresting from before, and they're like, we need you to reshoot that arrest. We're going to put it in the show. And I'm like, what do you mean reshoot the arrest? They're like, we hired him as an actor. We're going to pay him, and then we want you to reenact arresting him again. I was like, fuck no. And they're like, yeah, you're on contract. I'm like, I'm not doing it. They're like, you're in violation of your contract. I'm like, I don't care. So they canceled the whole show. I ended up owing them a lot of money. And one of my friends, Peter Tangen from Hollywood, actually was able to help me out. But it was pretty ridiculous.
Wow. That's why I despise reality shows. Because they're not reality. It's just bad acting.
That's exactly right. It's like, let's hire medium actors to pretend like they're not acting. And that just was something I wasn't going to be a part of. I mean, and, you know, obviously that's the over-exaggerated, dramatized version. But without a guy like Pete in my corner, it would have been a real bad day, you know?
Okay. So speaking of which, so now, I mean, with the move to MMA, I mean, does that mean no more superheroing? Are you concentrating on MMA right now?
No, man, it means I finally have money to fuel my war on crime. The problem with crime fighting is that it makes you broke, you know? Like, it's a lot of time. You don't get paid for it. You know, it's hard work. So I can now fight people in a cage, get a check, and then go fight what I consider to be the real problem. So, you know, I do MMA. I love MMA. I train. But, you know, nothing beats taking down criminals.
Right. Yeah, I mean, because obviously not everybody's Batman, born a billionaire, and could fight crime out of his superpowered, his Batcave, whatnot.
You know, that's another thing that Batman kind of confused me on. Like, if you're Batman, if I'm Batman, and I now have a credit card, right, because I'm white and I live in Gotham, and I also have just money up the ass, right? Why don't I buy a bulletproof real suit, like not like the Batman style suit, but like almost like an Iron Man suit, or get one made, some kind of Iron Man style suit, right? Then on top of that, if I have a problem with the hood or like a certain area of the city, I'll just buy it and then kick everyone out and then only let the cool people in. Like, Batman doesn't even need to fight crime. He just needs to crush crime with his wallet.
Okay, all right. Well,
fighting crime is a broke man's game.
Is it really? It's
an arrogant broke man game. It's saying, I'm the man who can make a difference, only me. And the only way that I can make a difference is going against these criminals head to head with the only tools I have, which is my heart, my compassion, and these awesome fists that are making me money, you know? Batman is way too rich for that. No rich person is going to think that way, because their job now, being rich, is to just fix shit with money. He should just buy the hood. The Penguin has like a lair. Buy the lair.
All right, buy the city. I think we have a caller here. We've got a caller and my co-host here. So, caller, you're on the air. You have a question. Welcome to Smooth Drama. You have Phoenix Jones on there. You have a question for Mr. Phoenix Jones here? Caller?
Was there another caller on there? Or just me?
Yeah, it was another caller. Caller going once, twice. All right. In the meantime, Phoenix Jones, you're on the air also with my co-host, Ms. Drama. Phoenix Jones.
How are you?
Hello. I came in at, like, I guess, a very interesting point of the conversation.
Yeah, you came in at the point where I was talking about crushing crime with fists or with wallets, and I was saying Batman should have done it with a wallet.
Yeah, he had the means to do that, right?
It just would make more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I mean,
But you can't make money off of that. That doesn't turn into all that Batman turned into.
Yeah, but Batman's a fictional character. We got a real-life superhero here, so it's a little bit different. The reality is a little bit different. Speaking of which, the reality. So, going forward, after the MMA fight here this weekend, what's your plan? You face up to Seattle, or you...
Well, I would never leave Seattle. I love this place. I've got my kids here. I've got my girl here. I'm pretty happy with Seattle. I would never leave. I think the key is just win this fight, and then I got some armor upgrades. I got a whole new suit ID I'm going for. And then it's back to the streets, stopping some crime, get another fight, maybe get a car upgrade going. I'm on that superhero life game. Like, fighting is, like I said, fighting is great. And I love fighting, and I'm good at it. But nothing beats locking up dirtbags.
Okay. So as speaking of the dirtbags, have any of them ever, like, stepped into your area?
You mean, like where I live?
Yeah.
No, not so much. I'm pretty particular about where I move. And since fighting crime, I have been moved further and further and further out of the city. Like, I don't live anywhere near the city. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I was pretty shocked if there were any criminals in my neighborhood.
Well, I mean, you know, folks nowadays they try. Everyone's trying to be famous. Now, obviously, to be famous, they'd have to like take some knuckle sandwiches from me. I don't know if anybody wants to get knocked out for fame. Messing with you.
They would get knocked out for their 15 seconds of fame or 15 minutes.
I agree.
They would take
the hit. With me though, you get embarrassed. Like, I'm not that. I'm lucky. I have this nice blend of like still like funniness. Like, if you come at me and get knocked out, you're not famous. Like, that's cool. Everyone clowns you. Like, oh my god, you got knocked out by that superhero. You're a clown. It's not the same as like getting knocked out by Hulk Hogan, where we're like, oh, you got knocked out by Hulk? No way. No, it's still not cool. You know, like the one guy I knocked out on video had to move schools and leave Seattle, you know?
Yeah, I saw that one. That was a tough little knockout there. I don't think he was expecting that one.
You know, I don't think he was expecting the leg kicks, because I hit him with a bunch of leg kicks and only one right hand.
Well, those leg kicks look kind of debilitating there. He was limping a little bit before you put him out of misery.
Definitely. I felt, have you seen the movie Pootie Tang? I feel like my leg kicks are like the Pootie Tang belt.
So, I see you get requests all over the globe, travel, whatnot. You thinking that you almost had a reality show. You ever think about just doing one yourself and just like the Phoenix Jones show, and that's a way for you to fund? I know you don't want to introduce your kids and all that kind of stuff, but I mean, just introducing the world to like Phoenix Jones.
I would do a Phoenix Jones show only under a few circumstances. It'd have to be with someone who is reputable and not about bullshit. Like, real, like, this is really what my life's about. And it would have to be one of those. It needs to be shot now and, like, very concealed where I live. If my kids are in it, like, you know, just, like, it would have to make me feel comfortable. Because money's not worth my security. It's never been. You know what I mean? And getting famous was an accident. Like, I got famous on accident, not on purpose. So I'm kind of happy just living in my little apartment, having my little superhero suit in the closet and sort of joking about it as my, like, little secret identity. It doesn't bother me too much.
All right. Well, I mean, now, who's your unfortunate victim this weekend?
Oh, Roberto Young. great boxer. He's got some really good hands and questionable wrestling. But I have questionable wrestling, too. So we're going to find out. It's going to be pretty much a boxing slugfest, how I feel.
All right. And and for the people listening who want to tune in, where can they find that at?
Yeah, NBC Sports. It's Channel 34 if you have Comcast. I don't know where y'all are in the Bay Area, but I know that it's NBC Sports. Starts off at, what time does it start, babe? Seven? Six or seven. And the only fight you need to watch is mine. All the other guys are boring. So just watch me win, and then you can go back to whatever you're doing.
Man, I'm trying to be there. I'm not trying to watch it on TV. I'm trying to be ringside.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. If you want to go, we can make that happen. I know from where you're at, it's not that far. Like, what is it? Like a 5-hour drive? 2-hour drive?
No,
what's it in driving?
Yeah, driving is more like 8 or 9 hours.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Well, I'm serious. I'm serious on the invite, though. If you want to come down, I'll get you a ticket if you want to come down here.
All right. You know, I might kidnap Ms. Drama and see if we'll go to the fight and see what's happening. I don't think she's down, though. You know, she's squeamish around blood.
Man, I can tell you, I've never been blood squeamish, right? And after the first time I got stabbed, I remember looking down and looking at my stomach, and I glued it up at that point, and it was just blood everywhere. And I thought to myself, this is way different. Your own blood sucks. Like, I feel like the Ben Stiller movie, you know, in Dodgeball, no one makes me bleed my own blood. Like, it was just a terrible moment.
I can't say that I can imagine. I mean, I've been bloody a few times, and it wasn't anything nice, but I don't think it's to the extreme like yours, talking about gluing it up and whatnot. I'm going to the
right.
Hospital. Yeah. I'm
not really going to it. You know, the worst part about it, too, is there's no music, there's no ladies, there's no slow motion, there's no, like, really cool, like, Damon Wayne's face, and then you get to drop the knife on the ground and be like, what? None of that happens. You just are sitting there alone bleeding. You're like, man, that was dumb.
Well, you know, I think you deserve a movie. I don't know about anybody else.
I do too.
I think you deserve a movie. I mean, the first black superhero in America, first superhero in America, real superhero, not putting
real
on
life, yeah.
Like cosplay. You actually out there making it happen. So we gonna stump for a movie.
Well, son needs to hit the gym a little bit, get a little bulkier, and he can have the role. You know what I mean? Get Wilson's son flat topped up and like 20 pounds of muscle. Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure he do that. I'm going to stay on top of him. I'm going to make sure that he does that.
Yeah, maybe Jaden Smith's listening. Yo, Jaden, if you're listening, you need to make this radio thing. You need to make this happen.
All right. So for all the people out there, I mean, if they wanted to connect with Phoenix Jones, tell them how they can connect with you.
All right. If you want to do it on Instagram, my name is The Phoenix Jones. If you want to send me letters, you can go online, and there's an address posted at thephoenixjones.com. If you want to Twitter me, you can Twitter me at The Phoenix Jones. If you want to be a general hater, you can just fuck yourself.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. Damn, I love you. Hey, I will hit you up after this, and we'll talk details, because not only do I want to go to the fight, but I want to do a comic book about you. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on.
Hey, we should talk about some stuff for sure. And then you have my contact info. So get a hold of me, seriously. If you want to go to the fight, I'll get you some tickets. You know, you and your lady, or you and your cousin, or whatever. Let me know.
All right. I will definitely do that, because I want to go to the fight. I've never been to an MMA fight, and the opportunity has me chomping at the bit.
It's knocking. Opportunity's knocking.
I know. And I
yay.
I want, there. to knock somebody out.
All right, brother. Then you guys be safe. Stay classy. Right. Make good decisions. And I'll see y'all in Phoenix.
All right.
You same for you. All right.
All right. Thank you for coming. All right. That was the Phoenix Jones, community activist, America's first black superhero. Well, America's first superhero, period, but we just don't, because even though it ain't Black History Month, it's September, America's first superhero is a black man out there kicking ass and taking names and kicking ass.
And, but he has to, right, kicking ass and taking names. I need to bring him to my neighborhood just for, like, maybe a weekend or two.
On the weekend, he can fight crime in your neighborhood?
Yeah, because it's like the crime kind of gets bad on paydays. It's when everybody likes to act a fool, get drunk and everything. So that's only when I need him.
All right.
Then I'll send him home to them cute kids.
Yeah, all right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a little break here. This is the Hugh Drive.
Out of this world, distorted, input teleport, faced up, recorded, treated like an automatic spoon, how you poured it. Corporate. You don't have the right to survive in our orbit. My thick breath is fresh like air. Kevin couldn't survive the air up here. They run systems as fried like bacon. The industry is trafficking niggas like taken. The weak human is destined for oblivion. Still same like Vivian. Our world brings interference and static. Solutions still prove to be problematic. This place is drives devour heat like animals. Take what we need to serve humans like Hannibal. Stronger than black. Peace of mind, got stranded, saw gorillas in the wilderness swinging from some branches. They told me that I need to go to Sunnyside, Atlantis, so I took a shortcut through the Jack Gates campus. And when I got there, all of the colors you can imagine, 1 million silver paintbrushes to the campus. Can I be candid as I'm tilted on my axis? Little water on the rocks, safe city, drive traffic, hold on. 19, 6 road, highway, 6 flow, billway, 8 toll, change in the console. 288 to the city of the mode, 290 Northwest City Express, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Twice, six, three, four, drive, make the city good night. together you got smooth drummer. Smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was The Hue, Drive. And if you want to holler at us, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And, of course, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Ms. Drama. How you doing, Ms. Drama? You all right?
I am doing good. I'm doing great. I'm all perfect, but that's nothing new.
You're perfect? Is that what you're saying?
I said almost. I didn't say that. I'm feeling
perfect.
Almost perfect, yeah.
All right. Almost perfect is like akin to perfect. It's like the vicar of perfect. Anyway. We're going to move on. Did you know that A&E is coming out with a special? The Cosby Accusers are going to have a TV special. Bet you can't wait to watch that, can you?
People on it right now. And now what is it?
Yeah, A&E is having a TV special on all the women who said Bill Cosby raped me. He drugged me and raped me.
Mm.
I can't wait to get my DVR set on that one just to watch woman after woman talking about Bill Cosby.
Well, I'm going to be front row and center.
What?
I'm going to be front and center. I want to see that shit.
You want to see it?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, 2005.
This is part of history. Why would you not want to see history?
You say this is part of history? Is this something historical?
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Actually, I am.
You should.
No, I'm saying you think Bill Cosby's drugging women is historical?
So this is one of the biggest conspiracy, whatever, cover up. What would you call this?
There's
been in a while.
I don't think it's a cover up though. I mean, he admitted to it way back in the day.
After years, he wasn't admitting to it back then.
He did.
After years, he wants to admit it. Okay, but you don't get credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, because one of the women settled out of court way back in 2006. That's like 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So he wasn't admitting it then. I mean, not just front, you know, what I'm trying to say.
No, tell me what you're trying to say.
So back then, settling out of court is just not, that could be somebody not wanting the problems, or it could be, oh, I'm guilty, I don't want the world to know. So, but he just wasn't outright admitting it.
Well, I mean, I don't think he really had a choice in the matter. It's out now.
He had a choice. It was just as many people that felt he did it and felt that he didn't.
Well, I mean, when you admit, I mean, because there's, I mean, obviously before it came out that he had said that he was guilty of it, there was a lot of people who was like, oh, yeah, these some gold diggers, blah, blah, blah. They're just trying to get a little money 10, 20,
mm-hmm.
30 years later. But you know,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but once you find out that he admitted, yeah, I drugged him, I raped him, it's kind of, you know, there's no, you can't defend that. When you admit to doing it, there's no defense. And anybody who defends him now is like, yeah, you must be guilty of it too. I'm curious about it. I'm curious to see what happens.
I am too. I definitely want to see it. I want to see everybody. How long is it going to be? I'll miss a few hours.
I
want all the tea.
It'll be an hour. I mean, you'll have to check A&E and see what's what. I mean, it's supposed to be on A&E, and it'll be interview with both the new and the civil cases. So, I mean, it's really tough.
Yeah, I need to say that.
I mean, I hate to see that it came to this. I mean, I've already how I feel about it.
To see, like, what happened to the old school days where people kept up with their lie? Like, if I told you this lie today, in 45 days, it's the same lie I'm going to tell you. What happened to them days?
With keeping up with the same lie?
Yeah, you know, I mean.
Are you saying that you lied?
The script.
Are you saying that you lied to me 45 days ago?
Do you think I'd admit it?
Well, you kind of already did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you
said. I'm talking. You're making this personal. It's not. This is so general. It's sickening. What happened to the people that know how to stick to the script, and then you turn into a me and you thing?
I'm saying, are we sticking to the script? If you lied to me 45 days, it's okay. I forgive you.
So if you can pinpoint what I lied to you about exactly 45 whatever days ago, then we can discuss it.
Okay.
Okay.
I will email that over to you, and then we'll discuss. No problem.
No problem.
Now I know you will be happy. As you know, over the past few months we've had, anybody listen to us, we've had to run an argument, me and Miss Drama, about sex toys and which ones are good and which ones are not good. I mean, Miss Drama is of the opinion that the sex toys that women use are legit, and the sex toys that men would use are illegitimate. I believe that.
Never use those words. Hold on. I need a disclaimer here. I never use those words. Words are being put into my mouth right now.
Okay.
Continue.
Summing it up. Basically, you don't believe in blow-up dolls and things of that nature for men, right?
I feel that is over the top when it comes to a sex toy. If you have to replicate the whole person, there is a problem.
So
now replicating a part of the person that's sexual, that I don't think that's overboard. I think that's getting quick and to the point.
Quick and to the point.
Hey, quick and to the point.
We're about quick and to the point.
I mean, you know, when it's that moment when you got to reach for that sex toy, you probably ain't got a lot of time.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I don't really know nothing about that, so.
Okay. But then why have you even been a part of the discussion for all this month? If you have no knowledge of whatever, why have you even been debating me?
I mean, because what we're talking about here is when you're talking about the sex toys. I mean, I was saying that it's all the same. But, I mean, now, one of the guys from there's Abyss Creation, which sells male and female sex toys, and they're introducing electronics to its creation. And then there's True Companion, who have saying that we've developed the world's first sex robot. And they're launching their first doll, Roxy, a little bit later on this year. And I'm gonna quote Chief Executive Douglas Hines, who says that, and I quote, "We are not supplanting the wife or trying to replace a girlfriend. This is a solution for people who are between relationships or someone who has lost a spouse. So, and
bullshit.
Wow. But those are Douglas Hines' words.
What the fuck does that mean? I doubt it. Very seriously.
And why do you doubt it?
The proof is right here for you.
You know what I'm saying?
If you just have one part, you know what I'm saying, the only part that they need, why do they need the arms of a sex doll? Why do they need the legs of a sex doll? The neck? You know what I mean? These are questions that I have, and nobody can answer. It's because they're going overboard. You are trying to replace it. If you weren't, you would just make the best-looking part of that pupusa down there and be done with it. Maybe some breasts. I could see if you had, like, a torso, but then that would look funny, too. But what I'm saying is that you don't need all those other parts that are relevant. Now they're making it animatronic, or what is it? That's too much.
Okay, so I hear what you're saying, but see...
You always say that.
No, hold on. This goes back to the argument that men can have with women. Women are always saying that men are not sensitive, that we don't care, don't have feelings, whatnot. I mean, prostitution only exists because men want somebody they can talk to, because they do more talking to the damn prostitute than they do the
What other. Does this have to do with what we're talking about? I'm lost now.
Basically, these men have the dolls because men are sensitive creatures also. We feel we need hugs. We need kisses.
The doll can hug you.
You can hug the doll and you put the doll.
But the doll can't hug you.
Okay, but it's a facsimile. It's close enough.
So you want something that's close enough. Okay, fine. Have that.
Hold on.
Now I get it. You have filled in all the blanks for me.
No. First and foremost, we're going to throw that disclaimer out there. I don't need that. I am fully capable of getting my own hug. From live human beings. I'm not buying a doll to lay up with me. I'll take the
but
live.
But you are very pro doll.
I'm not pro doll. I'm arguing the point, the merits of the doll, and why men would go for that. Because look, men, we crave intimacy also, and if we can't get the intimacy from the woman, because obviously, as you say, hey, well, I'm in that moment, I can just reach in my drawer, bam, and that's it. And so that's a hug that a potential guy can't get, because you're taking that away. You, bam, I got my toy, that's it.
And you really want to sit up there and say hugs? It is not about no hugs.
Really?
But okay, keep going.
Well, it's a whole body. So what do you think they're doing with the whole body?
Probably just making a mess all over the place. I'm telling you, just everywhere. That's all I can think of.
Okay, but I would report by saying that I think there's a mess that could be made on both ends, both sides, both sexes.
That dog's not making no mess.
Really?
That dog is inanimate. That dog was not making a mess. Now you're going to blame the dog? See, that's what it's all going to boil down to. Oh, shit. I can't take it. I thought this conversation was done months ago.
But, hey, look, this just happened. They're making them, as Dr. Kevin Curran says, they're about to become mass market. They're saying we would be naive to ignore market forces for intimate robots. You know.
So this all started with that movie Her, huh?
Yeah, I don't know about, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not talking to my phone. There's nothing intimate about walking in the house and there's some inanimate voice that talks to me. Hey, how are you today? I'm all right till you start talking. No.
I mean, but you sit there and you get to know this computer.
Look, I know my computer very well, but there's no, like, I'm looking at my computer like, yeah, me and you, we going to do some things tonight. Come on. No.
Hey, take that off. I mean, it happens.
No, it does not.
There is a huge market for that. No, don't downplay it. You know what I'm saying? You've been defending the right for it for months.
Okay, but we're talking about dogs, blow up dogs, whichever one, human interactive robots. I mean, basically they're taking, as you said, her and putting her into a body that can walk and talk. And I guess it'd be what you would call artificial intelligence, whatnot, and you get to know your robot, y'all can have a special relationship. You wouldn't want to have a special relationship with the doll of your choice?
The what? Never. The doll? I'm like, I don't even get it. I don't get it. It's idiotic to me, you know, so I'm just going to sit in the background.
You're going to sit in the background and let that
yeah.
be it?
Yeah, I'm going to let that be it.
Well,
each his own.
I agree with you. I mean, I'm not necessarily pro doll. I mean, I'll be devil's advocate. I won't argue either way. I don't understand either side. I mean, I understand it to a point, but I'm like, if there's a choice between your toy and the human, I mean, for me, it's a no brainer. But I guess for some, it's not a no brainer. So. That's my argument.
Yeah, and then, you know, it probably does have a good thing, too, because if it's going to keep the awkward guys, the guy, you know what I mean? If it's going to keep them out of places, you know what I mean, then maybe it probably is good. Go home and be with your dog. Don't be out here trying to date a real person that, you know what I mean, really goes by the norm.
Hold on. Now, see, I would argue that what we need is the awkward guy.
No, you could have stopped right there. You could have stopped that sentence after argue. I would argue, period. That's how you would like to do.
Right. I do that. And I'm saying that the awkward guy and the awkward girl, they need to get out and meet each other. See, because a lot of times, some of the inappropriate situations you'll see in the schools and whatnot are because the awkward guy and the awkward girl are not hooking up when they should and could be.
When does an awkward guy and girl ever hook up?
That's my point, because they're both inside. They're not
where they need to stay and not procreate and make more awkward. Just stay away.
So just stay locked up in the basement.
Yeah, at his basement, whatever.
That's your solution.
Hey, if it ain't broke.
Yeah, I think it's kind of broke, because then it leads to what you just arguing about that you don't understand in the first place.
That what?
Anyway, we're going to move on. We're going to stay on technology, though, just for you.
No.
Yes. You know how I love to talk about these studies that they have out here. And so one of the studies, it's real shock here. They're saying school technology struggles to make an impact. And they're saying, because now that the schools, a lot of the schools have computers and whatnot, and the internet, whatever. They're thinking that miraculously the scores of the kids will go up. And I'm like, yeah, searching Google and playing games on the computer does not make you smarter. It just means that you know how to work a computer.
You gotta know something to be able to work a computer.
Okay, turning on the computer, logging on. Okay, where's the intelligence?
I mean, it's deeper than that.
Okay.
You're the only saying that because you know.
Okay. I'm saying if you're talking about education and teachers. I mean, just putting computers in the classroom, there's some ease of education.
Okay, hold on. Education doesn't always come from teachers. We have our homeschool kids. We got, you know what I'm saying, kids that get taught by people that don't even have degrees and stuff like that still in the world. So it's not just from teachers. You know, I know why you would say that.
No. See, what I'm saying is I don't put a designation on the teachers. I'm focusing on the fact that they're talking about technology and how technology is supposed to, in the schools, make the kids smarter, when I would argue that it's the exact opposite. You know, having computers in the classroom does not mean that the kids are going to be smarter. It just means that they have computers in the classroom.
Right, so they can get to Facebook and all that.
Right.
Can they see that at school?
Yeah, I mean, that's all it is. And then the point is they're talking about test scores that aren't going up. They're talking about that. Yeah, we're spending this money, but we're not seeing any results. And I'm like, yeah, it's still about the school. It's still about the...
I don't feel like it has to do with the computers. I mean, because computers have been in school since I was younger. So you cannot actually learn a computer. I think the reason the test scores aren't improving and these kids ain't going nowhere is because they changed to that core shit. And
So you're saying back in 1952 when you was in school, they had computers?
When I was in school, that we had computers. We had a computer class.
Okay. All right.
We had computers.
Did that help enrich your educational experience?
Honestly, it did, because it was the first experience I had with coding. It helped me later on for something that I was doing. I made a computer game. It was interesting, you know what I mean? You know, it broadened my horizons. Everybody in that class horizons, because, you know, we all did it. It wasn't the mundane. So it was, you know, yeah.
It added a little diversity to your educational experience, you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I'm not arguing that. All I'm saying is the computer is just the easier avenue to education. It still has to come from the actual educators having a educational plan that would help elevate and challenge the students' minds. Which is my point in the first place. Not to argue a point, but I always want to argue against just
everything.
Studying. That, yeah, pretty much. That's. And on that note, I want to thank Mr. Phoenix Jones for coming on the show and enlightening us in the world of superheroing, and for Miss Drama, I, of course, am Mr.
Epic. Drama now.
Yeah, and this was another smooth drama experience. We're going to check y'all a little bit later. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands
up. Where the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama. Smooth.
Drama. You took something.